Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome once again to the Ed Springsteen Show, brought to you by the MVM Radio Network. Man, I tell you what, we're already having some problems, but rest assured they are already getting better. The chat room just crashed. Apparently there was another problem with the chat room out of BTR. We are working on that as we speak. Everything else seems to be going just fine. And Dale the Truth will be joining us in just a moment. So we will look forward to seeing him in just a second, which would be good because it'll be the first time in about a week we've seen Dale. So, you know, lot to be covered right now, a lot going on. Everybody knows about everything going on with Boston, and I can't wait to get Dale's opinion on all of that stuff. Dale, you're with us now. How are you, sir?
I've had my better days, brother, but I'm here. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, man. You know by now that last week the problem with the shows was all on Blog Talk Radio's end. They sent us an apology letter. Huh?
Mm-hmm. That makes me feel a little bit better. I thought it was on my end because my computer totally crashed last week, and I haven't replaced it yet. I'm using a laptop right now.
Uh-oh, here we go. Well, you'll hold on, man. I got faith in you. In the meantime, so we know what happened last week with that. Everything going on in the world today. Couple of things I really want to get into on the Louisville and Kentucky area before we switch over to the story of the decade, dude. I know you're dying to get into Boston.
All right.
But I've got to talk about this.
All right.
You know, for the last 2 weeks, we've also been talking prior to this Boston bombing, or right about the same time, we've been going on with this illegal tape recording of Mitch McConnell. And listening to the Democratic Party crying up and down that they don't know Sean Riley or Kurt Morrison or any of these other guys, that they don't have anything to do with the party. They're just a couple of dumbasses, really, that don't know what they're doing. Well, the long story short, we put up part four of our series today at LouisvillePolitics.com. Some fascinating information. I've got to give Jake Payne credit over Page One Kentucky for his exposés on Sean Riley himself. But we've got pictures of Sean Riley with Allison Lundgren and Grimes, President Obama himself. I mean, you name it, this guy is everywhere. What a lot of people don't know is, and we actually put this out today as well, BuzzFeed actually did a story on this that was lost in the shuffle.
Mm.
Turns out that Sean Riley was actually invited to the White House for a closed-door meeting on December the 5th. Where he, yeah, imagine that, right? This is a guy that nobody locally knows anything about. But Riley went to a closed-door meeting on December the 5th in Washington at the White House. In that meeting, he was with the chief fundraiser for President Obama, Matthew Barzine. We also had other notables there as well, including, this was one that I really enjoyed seeing, Keith Runyon. For those of you who don't know who Keith Runyon is, Keith Runyon is the former editorial page editor for the Courier-Journal. He's retired now, just retired. But, you know, Keith Runyon, as a retired journalist, doesn't just get a random call to come to the White House either. So, you know, these things are all starting to add up. We've now tied this situation all the way to the White House. But mainstream media, primarily here in Louisville, will not go forward with any of this. It is amazing what's going on here in Kentucky by these people ignoring the obvious here. None of this is coincidental, is it, Dale?
No, I don't think it is. And we have to give a lot of credit to the gentleman over there at Page One Kentucky and does the Ville Voice too, because he has been laying out a lot of investigative journalism, like you said, that the dead tree media just won't do. So I've been following him, probably not as closely as you have on the story with these Democrats at large. But I thought it was funny because I think another gentleman that was involved was this Jacob Conway, right? Remember him?
Yes, sir.
And this character's actually called into our shows before. So what's the story with him? Is he in bed with the other ones, pun and not intended, with these queers, or is he innocent?
Yeah, no, he's actually in bed with all of them. That's what makes this whole story.
I mean, I know they're all gay, so I know they're in bed with each other, but I just didn't know.
No, it goes above and beyond. It goes above and beyond that. That's why we've done the 4-part series so far. You guys go to Louisville.
I wonder if he'll ever have the balls to call back into your show now. That'd be interesting.
You know, time will tell. Time will tell. But Jacob Conway.
Let me hear from you out there, Jake. If you have any balls, call in.
Well, here's the thing about Conway, too, because everybody is saying this, they're trying to pinpoint this guy as not being very bright. He's got mental issues and all this other crap now. But the reality is Jacob Conway admitted to felony theft when he worked in a Commonwealth Attorney's Office under former Commonwealth Attorney Irv Mace. Obviously lost his job. He admitted to felony theft from the GOP Proud, or the Kentucky Law Cabinet Republicans, I should say, and all these other things. So he lost his job, lost all his credibility, lost everything. And yet somehow these Democrats who knew about all of this went ahead and allowed him to be elected as an executive committee member to the party, allowed him to be involved in all the party politics. And, you know, I've even got a great picture on today's story of Jacob Conway standing with Irv Mays, big grins on their face, after he'd already lost his job. So, you know, you can't sit here and say that none of this is interrelated. You can't sit here and say that these guys aren't keeping everybody's secrets. The gay part is out there. And this goes all the way up to, you know, we've got Rob Holtzman, who just resigned from as a legislative aide just a couple of weeks ago. This guy is dirty. We'll prove that. You know, all the way to Chris Poynter, Greg Fisher, John Yarmuth, and now apparently Barack Obama. So, you know, for anybody to sit here with any kind of brains at all, you really need to read this series. Jake Payne has done a great job outlining Sean Riley and Sean Riley's prior problems, but he hasn't went the full scale of saying, okay, this is how everything's interrelated and this is who is involved. And that's what I did. Anybody can out one person. So I decided I was going to out the whole system. And it's very fascinating. This goes on into Jim King, Katie King, Denise Bentley, you name it. All the people I've had to run across before are right smack in the middle of all this as well. And it's fascinating that Allison Lundergan Grimes, reports are now, you know, when Ashley Judd got out of the race, this was long before Mitch McConnell recording ever came to view. But Ashley Judd got out of the race, decided not to run. It was because Allison Lundergan Grimes and a few other choice Democrats told her they were going to destroy her in the primary with the same information they're now trying to say that Mitch McConnell was using, that he wasn't using yet. So they're the ones that created this in the first place. Allison Lundergan Grimes, of course, is tied to Sean Riley. He's worked with her, been to her events, done everything with her. She refuses to go on record denouncing anything by Progress Kentucky or Sean Riley and Kurt Morrison. She has refused to denounce any of the stuff that they've done. You know, guilt by association is a big key here. And since she's the one that the Democratic Party wants to take on Mitch McConnell, it's clearly obvious that this goes a hell of a lot deeper than a couple of guys that don't know what they're doing. So it's really fascinating. I wanted to get into that because I just think it's just phenomenal. How pathetic.
Well, it sounds like if these guys are all involved with their executive committee, it sounds it's very, very similar to the corruption we see in the local Republican Party executive committee. It's no wonder that our city has been running to the ground politically. When you look at both executive committees, it just sounds like maybe the Democratic executive committee has more exciting after-hour parties.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. The warehouse that burned down on Maple Street just a few years ago, that was an underground sex club for prominent Democrats to include our former mayor. So, I can say that. So, we've got all kinds of things. And it's really interesting because, you know, even in 2006 when I ran for mayor, Jerry Abramson sent his deputy mayor's son, Will Summers V, to follow me around for a while. And he actually cornered me in a bar. Understand this, folks. When I go out in Louisville, Kentucky, I don't drink beer and I don't believe in drinking and driving. So if I go to a bar and you happen to see me there, I'm drinking coffee or Pepsi. It's that simple. So he gets in and follows me. He'd been following me for a few days and I knew it. And he ended up following me to this local bar. And at the end of the night, when the DJ gets done and all that crap, he decides he wants to start asking me questions like he was a regular voter, and he had recognized me from TV as being candidate for mayor, right? Knew who he was, knew what game he was playing. Well, it was really interesting because I let him go for a few minutes, and I finally told him, I said, look, I know who you are. I know why you're here. This was a Saturday night. I said, I know that tomorrow at 4 o'clock, you and your dad are supposed to be having dinner or brunch with Jerry Abramson at his house to discuss what you were able to come up with me on tonight. And he looked at me and his jaw dropped. I said, tell me I'm lying. And he just couldn't speak because I was right. And I told him at that time, I said, listen, William, I'm going to make this real easy for you. If I catch you following me again, one of two things are going to happen. I'm either going to shoot you, or I'm going to tell the whole world who Jerry Abramson's current boyfriend is and what bank he works for.
Wow.
And, you know, I said, and he looked at me and says, you wouldn't. I said, you bet I would. I've got a bunch of people. I've got witnesses and everything else to this. And I said, you bet I would. So when you report to Jerry at 4 o'clock, when you go there for dinner at 4 o'clock, you tell Jerry I said I can keep my mouth shut on his boyfriend because I don't want to damage a private citizen. They're not in this race. But if he continues to follow me, if I continue having any more of this thuggery bullshit, I'll tell the world who his boyfriend is, and then he's got serious problems. You know,
yeah.
I was never followed from that night on. And that's the way that the Democrat, that's the way that they work here. So, you know, for them to do this about the Republican Party was just phenomenal to me. But, you know,
well,
after Allison Leonard Grimes, it's incredible. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I know this happened some time back for you, Ed, but it's eerily similar to the way that last year during our convention process, I had the Republican Party Executive Committee moles following me around to different places. So we must be doing something right if we have moles from both executive committees following us around at nighttime, Ed.
You know, it's funny because
remember, I had I had the giant mole Byron Fisher for the Republican Party executive committee pretending like he was a Liberty guy, and then we outed him on the spot. And then we had Miss Donna Lawler, you can't miss her anywhere, and we had her spying on us out in public spots and taking pictures of Liberty folks. So I guess the Republican and Democrat Party, they both want to keep live what you started quoting on this show, the Uniparty, and that Uniparty wants to run this city into the ground. They're doing a pretty good job.
Well, that's exactly it. That's exactly where I was going, because, you know, you're just reinforcing the whole Uniparty mindset that we continue using here on this show and throughout the MVM networks. And, you know, it's true, because there is not one any better than the other. The difference here is that the Democrats are the ones who created this situation, trying to portray themselves as on some kind of high ground or something. And I'm not going to let it happen. So, you know, it's very interesting. We have started outing. We haven't even got to where we want to go yet. I have not outed the boyfriends of Jerry Abramson yet. I have not outed the sexual deviancy of a former LA of a now former legislative aide and a few other people. I have not outed any of that out yet. And it's going to be shocking when you find out what's really going on, and it includes your mayor who just announced for re-election. We're going to have a great, great time here. So just so we get into that, I want to make sure everybody knew what's going on. Part four is up. Now let's get into some serious issues.
All right.
The Boston bombing. We were going to talk about that last Wednesday and Thursday. Unfortunately, we had problems with BTR, obviously.
Yep.
You know, since then, we have gotten so much information. It is hard to keep up with all the information coming forward after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but one of the things that really stands out to me is the first question we have to ask ourselves is, how did this happen? Why was this allowed to happen? Okay. Now, we have plenty of pictures showing Tradecraft and Blackwater. These are private secret ops people that are paid by our government to do different things, wearing the same type of clothing, the same backpacks, the same hat, the same everything as who I call thing number one. That's the 26-year-old Tamerlan who was the ringleader, if you will, of this bombing. And we have to start asking about that. And
well,
that's one of the questions.
I was going to jump in here on this. You know, back to these suspects, number one and number two, I'm really surprised. I guess we didn't really see the bodies, did we? I didn't know if it was going to be a la bin Laden's last killing, you know, when they killed bin Laden for the eighth or ninth time. We couldn't see the body, and then they buried him at sea, supposedly. So I guess we really haven't seen the bodies of these two terrorists or bombers or murderers, however you want to call it, because one supposedly was killed, and we never saw that body. We've seen pictures that supposedly the body of the second one, but how ironic that this went down last Friday on April the 19th. And I think you know, Ed, all the different historical government-involved conspiracies that have happened on April 19th.
Oh, yeah, Waco and a few others.
Oklahoma,
you know,
City.
That's an interesting
question.
That's
the big one.
That is a real interesting question. You know, and when you look at this, though, one of the other things, I'm torn and just completely dumbfounded, if you will, that the FBI had been watching this guy for at least 4 or 5 years, at least since 2009. He was on a watch list. All of these factors, every red flag security factor you can possibly name this guy was part of, the FBI ignored it. It was
right,
this
the Obama
guy was
FBI.
So bad.
I mean, we'll call a spade a spade. Obama's in charge of the FBI right now. The Obama FBI ignored warnings about this character, just like the Bill Clinton FBI ignored warnings about bin Laden. When they offered to have bin Laden served up on a platter, Bill Clinton said he's no harm, he's no threat to us.
Excellent points. Excellent points. I'm glad you went there, because if we look at what's really been going on, primarily over the last 5 years, it's become a startling chain of events that is totally designed, intentionally so, to protect Islamic terrorists and jihad. I don't think there's any other way to do that. For one thing, we now know that Barack Obama cut the funding for the Department of Homeland Security, that's supposed to be taking care of all this bomb stuff. They cut that funding by almost 50%. Half that money was gone. So, yet they've got enough money to go out and buy billions of rounds of ammunition and spend billions of dollars on these mini tanks to put on American streets to use against American citizens. Something's wrong with that. The NSEERS program. An NSEERS program is essentially a program, and Rand Paul talked about that, I think it was yesterday. The NSEERS program is basically a program that actually scrutinizes all immigrants from age 25 up from mostly Muslim countries. So these are 25 countries that we know harbor terrorism, that we know harbor terrorists, and that we know mean harm to the United States. So we have this special detail that is there built to do nothing but scrutinize this. President Obama took it away. He said it was discriminatory. It was offensive. Well, let me ask you something. When 95% of all terrorist attacks are done by Muslim Islamic terrorists in the name of jihad, is that discriminatory? Is that offensive? Or is that fact that needs to be watched?
No, I agree. I agree with what you're saying. I mean, again, if these people are threats, they would have taken them down back then. I mean, we're out here droning innocent kids and women and children around the world, and we don't know what their crimes are, but they won't do anything to the guys that their own FBI warned them about. That's what gets me. It doesn't make a lot of sense why you would let these guys out there unless you want them on the loose.
Well, that's exactly it. It makes no sense. And by the way, folks, the numbers called in the show are 858-683-1326. Area code 502-805-0334. And for you guys who are already listening in the listening queue, just press that little number 1 on your dial pad and we'll know you want to get in. So, you know, we're looking at these things, Dale, and you know, the obvious questions are there. Obama is clearly could care less about national security, apparently aided and abetted by our own FBI. I mean, even the CIA was scared to death of this guy. The CIA wanted this guy kept on the list.
I want to bring up the point, and I know since we, I don't know if you and Mr. Martin talked about it. Have you all talked about this much the last two nights?
Have we talked about it? We talked about it, yeah.
Did you talk about the story that I really think is interesting? If you want to get into conspiracies, then this you can research from the Boston Globe. You can go back and look at the Boston Globe's own Twitter feed. If people think I'm making this up, because you can research this if you want to do a start page search. Let's go back to the events of April 15th. Why is it that just prior to the bombs that went off in Boston, that there was a drill scheduled for a test bomb?
Did you talk about that at all? Oh, that's a really good question. And quite honestly,
that's all over the Boston Globe's Twitter page. If people want to go back, if they haven't removed it now, I mean, I'm sure you can go and do the Internet Archive Wayback Machine and find out what it said before they took it down. But people who were in the Boston Marathon said they kept getting announcements on the loudspeaker that there was going to be a bomb drill, but there's nothing to worry about.
Well, I think ultimately that feeds some of the conspiracy theory, and I tell you why, because we now have a university professor at Florida Atlantic University, if you want to call that a real college, but you have a university professor at Florida Atlantic University is out there telling the whole world that nobody got injured, that there was no bomb, that these were smoke grenades that were intentionally set as part of this exercise, and the people that they were showing on the ground, bloodied and blown apart and all the other stuff, what were props that were used. And these were actors and actresses so that they could simulate a real-world situation and scare the American people so they could take away more rights.
the people that walked in this marathon, like you said, the one story I'm looking at is the gentleman who was a cross-country coach for University of Mobile. Did you see that story?
I have not. Well, I may have.
Allie Stevenson, I'm assuming that might be a woman, but Allie Stevenson is all over the media. That's the University of Mobile's cross-country coach because they were marching, or I should say marching, they were running in this marathon, And basically, they described the fact that they thought it was a little odd when the race started, there were bomb-sniffing dogs at the start line when the race started.
Oh, yeah. Now, I did see that story, actually. Yeah, there
Why would you have bomb-sniffing dogs? There's never been an explosion in the history of any marathon that I know of, so why would you just happen to have bomb-sniffing dogs there? And then people were really confused because amidst the middle of the marathon, they were still giving announcements that there was to be a drill, and not to be alarmed, it was just a drill.
Because the FBI was given prior warning that there was going to be a bombing. They were warned.
Yep.
They were scared, and rather than cause mass panic or confusion and affect the Boston Marathon, they perpetuated the lie that they were doing a bomb exercise and there was nothing to be worried about. That was all that was. They received warning, but instead of making sure they did their due diligence and keeping us safe, they made up yet another lie to try to cover their butt. And we can go back to Benghazi and see how that works.
Let's face reality. Yeah,
and
you brought up bin Laden, maybe I brought up bin Laden, but we're talking about 9/11. And just look at these histories. When we had September 11th, there were also reports that there was supposed to be a terrorism test that day. And then we had one of our school bombings. I don't know which one it was. I talked about how all the school bombings include psychopathic drugs on one of my shows recently. But we had a school bombing where there was supposed to be a test. Oh, this was the one in Colorado with the theater. Remember the guy with the Batman movie? How the same day, about 8 to 10 miles from the theater, there was to be a drill for terrorism. So, I mean, people can call this conspiracy theory, or they can connect the dots. Why would you have a drill for terrorism 8 miles away from this big theater shooting? Why would you have a drill for terrorism that was scheduled for September 11th? And why would you have a bomb drill scheduled for the Boston Marathon?
Well, I'm like you. I don't believe in coincidence. We call these things conspiracy theory, but when the majority of evidence overwhelmingly points to a problem or a solution, you know, then you have to address that. And in each case that we continue to see going on here, we've got all of these so-called drills, all these different things going on, and every time we have one of these drills, we seem to have some sort of terrorist attack.
Yep.
Well, James Holmes was a terrorist attack. What Adam Lanza did at Sandy Hook Elementary was a terrorist attack. You know, so it's pretty fascinating to me.
That's the other question. Why do they call these two guys terrorists, but they didn't call any of the school shootings terrorists?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. You know, Barack Obama won't even say that this was done by Islamic radicals, Islamic radical terrorists. He's scared to use that terminology because he's funded by them.
That's just the truth.
You know, in his own words from his own autobiography, you know, he said in the winds of change or whatever, you know, he would side with the Muslims, you know, over Christians. He's clearly proven himself time and time again to be a Muslim, you know, and one of the things that Quran teaches you is how to infiltrate and how to pretend you're something that you're not. You know, as part of your Islamic beliefs, so that you can infiltrate and change things. So this is nothing new, you know, and I've never went down the road of accusing Obama of being a Muslim until right now. But once again, you have this overwhelming mountain of evidence that continues piling up that's pointing in one simple direction. What is the end result? And I think we're seeing it now, thanks to the
press. Well, I think, too, when you have these attacks, and I said this I think it was our good friends over at Take Back Kentucky, a group of which I've been a member for years and years. I said this on one of their social network feeds, and that is, when this is going down and everybody wants to send their condolences, and yeah, we do send our condolences to people who are the casualties, I guess collateral damage in these attacks, whoever's responsible for them. I said myself to our friends at Take Back Kentucky on one of their social network feeds, I said, keep an eye out for what Congress does while this is going on. I said, you know, the government clamped down, what's the response going to be? You can watch the Congress and the White House and watch what they're doing. All the press attention is on this incident. We saw what's going on. We have the continuation of things like CISPA and trying to crack down on the internet and trying to put a sales tax on the internet. And all this was in the works while the media was covering the Boston Marathon.
And you know what? You're absolutely right. And that's kind of where I'm going down the road with, because we've got to get into CISPA. We've got to get into everything else. But I tell you what, let's take a quick break before we go there.
All right.
You're listening to the Ed Springer Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. Stay tuned, folks. It gets a lot better from here. We'll be right back.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springer of the My View Matters Radio Show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email MyViewMatters at AOL.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
Network. Remember again, phone numbers are 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334. Apparently you guys in the listening queue know to hit that number one. Let's go straight to the phones. This is our 0334 number. Is this Mayo?
Yes, it is.
How you doing, sir?
Good morning, brother.
Oh, pretty good. Just enjoying the show, but one of the things you mentioned about, you know, Obama, then Sears, but also he did away with the after 9/11, Bush made like the FBI, CIA, NSA start sharing information so that something like this would happen again. Obama also cut that out. locally, well, on the one you were talking about, I can't remember, was it Jacoby or what's the one? When he was arrested, he said, oh, the money wasn't from payment for the wiretapping, but for money he had earned from his gay escort service.
Yeah, basically, yeah, male prostituting himself to Lindy Casebeer and Jimmy DeSalvia.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so, and then
was
you
that
know,
Conway
he boarded
that,
that to police before the
Jacob Conway, two
attorney
two
got there.
Democrats. You're right. I mean, I didn't mention that. It's in the stories. I did not mention that on there, because I'll be honest with you, it just completely slipped my mind. But, you know, it's... It's totally mind-boggling how everything is interrelated and interlinked. I mean, when you get into the Democratic Party on a local level, we've been talking about outing all of these guys, if you will, and we've been doing that. You know, and then you start looking at a national level, and you've got things like Barack Obama, you know, Department of Homeland Security cutting a bomb budget but buying bullets. You know, we've got an FBI ignoring a clear terror threat, even though the CIA and the Russian security have told them repeatedly, watch this guy, watch this guy, watch this guy. You know, and those are all Democrats too. Now, maybe I am this major conservative that everybody wants to say I'm Republican at all costs, which I find hard to believe because I've taken out Republicans that I thought weren't worthy. Ask Todd Lally how he fared against John Yarmuth, you know, or ask, you know, Mitch McConnell whatever I've said about him publicly. So it's not that I love Republicans, but let's face facts here, folks. Let's face facts here. Right now, the Democrats have all the control everywhere across the board. And look at what we are getting here. We're getting terrorist attacks on American soil because we're not allowed to watch guys because it might be profiling because our president said so. We're getting a Department of Homeland Security who is violating everything in the world, making sure we can't get ammunition for our guns. While they're still going after the guns, these bombs are still killing and injuring more people than a gun ever will. You know, you look at all this in play. While all this was going on in Boston, as Dale pointed out prior to the break, they quietly passed a CISPA. And now, what do we find out today? They've been questioning thing number two, which we'll call Dokar. They've been questioning thing number two about how he came up with all this stuff. And he's swearing up and down here. They're reporting to us, not that he's saying. We're just getting what they actually want to tell us. And they're reporting to us that he said him and his brother found all this information online. Isn't that a miraculous thing that they could find information on this online at the same time they passed CISPA quietly and there's major outrage against CISPA? This is why we got to have it, folks, because we've got to be able to catch this stuff. Yet they've already always
had to look at this. Yeah, I know the people listening to this show are more astute to what's going on in politics, but I want people to look at the CISPA vote. In Kentucky, you look at the House of Representatives, and you know we have 6 representatives from Kentucky. You know we have 4 Republicans and 2 Democrats. Well, if you haven't seen the news, I would tell people to take a guess who they think voted for CISPA and against CISPA in Kentucky. Our good friend Thomas Massey, who I remember the night that Jeff Davis decided he was going to sneak out the back door. I was talking to my friends like the Collins, they call him Matt Collins. We were talking online the night that Jeff Davis' resignation came out that we wanted to get Massey into this seat. Massey's always been on the side of the Constitution. He voted against CISPA, but we got to give credit where it's due. Our own Congressman John Yarmuth voted against CISPA, and all the other Republicans voted for it.
Well, I was going to say, I'll leave it. Well, I'm going to go out on a rare limb here. Mayo, you can jump in just one second. But I'm going to go out on a very rare limb here because I'm actually going to support Barack Obama on this, and I know that's going to freak a lot of people out listening to this show. But Barack Obama said if they passed CISPA, he would veto it. Let's see if he's got the balls to follow through.
No, he has no balls unless he's the ones that Larry Sinclair.
Well, I understand, but that's what he said, and if he follows through with that, then we can give Barack and Obama an attaboy. Go ahead, Mayo.
I was going to say 2 things here, and then you can toss me back in the queue there. Locally, was it Lacey Smith? I don't know. I mean, buying up the property there next to the Ali.
Oh, yeah, for $1. Deal. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, for the senator. Was he a senator, Democrat senator from the 70s
or
something?
So
it's just,
and he took $15,000 in bribes. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it just goes to show me, you know, Fisher's administration, same as, you know, Abramson's on kind of on that level or deal. And on the, there's a lot you, I mean, I have to admit, if you look, there is a lot you can find on the web if you know where to look. You either got what they call the black web, the dark web, or the interweb.
Mm-hmm.
And you can actually go to, I'm a high-tech redneck, so a little above Fred Flintstone. But, I mean, you can get on Tor, go to places, actually go to jihadist sites or other sites, I mean, training sites and some things that, you know, they in the military, it's like, okay, no cell phones, no nothing, here's this. And they show a certain army tank and they go, well, actually, here's the weak spot. So you always want to, when you're in combat, to keep these spots covered. And then 2 days later, that information's on the Internet. But yet, you know, you've signed a security clearance and – you know, they took your cell phone away, et cetera, but yet it is there if you look for it. So, I mean, I can't, you know, where then, you know, if they police the Internet, then what are they going to do, police the library? You know, I mean, Huckleberry Finn, Tom Sawyer's already kept out of public schools because of the N-word. So, I mean, in a way,
but the same libraries, Mayo, will let underage children access pornography in the library because they say it's a free speech issue.
Hmm.
Well, yeah, and, you know, and underage children can get abortions, you know. But we just had a teacher suspended this week. I'm trying to remember where it was at, but was suspended this week because he's brought in garden tools from home to use to teach his class. Apparently he does something in art or gardening or something. But he was suspended for bringing in garden tools from home because they could be used as weapons. But we'll go ahead and give an elementary kid a condom and tell a 12-year-old they can go get an abortion without mom and dad knowing it. We are so screwed up in our value system because of these Democrats. And I'm finding that just about everyone, at least on a local level that I keep investigating, is turning out to be nothing but a pedophile, a convicted rapist, or a sexual deviant. they're all running around in underground sex clubs abusing children for sex. I know that sounds bad. I understand that. But I'm not going to sit here and be politically correct and play the game. The game is over. You want to play the game? You're playing my game now, because we're going to out all of this stuff. We can no longer allow this in society, especially right here at home. One of the stories that Mayo just mentioned, we've got a little situation going on in Louisville where, our good friend Mayor Fisher, and this is just one, I've got a story coming out next week on this clown that should destroy everybody and get him out of the mayor's office pretty quickly. But, this guy is out now. He's trying to hire a Democratic operative, that's a former senator, Lacey Smith, to develop a site that he's going to sell them for $1. This land is valued, an appraised value of $8.1 million. But they're going to sell it to Smith and Dennis Clare for $1 as long as they bring in plants, not dirt shovel torn over, nothing else, plants. As long as they bring in plans to develop this site, and it's going to be worth more than $200 million when they're done, they get it for free. Well, if they can come up with $200 million to develop this site, I don't know why we've got to give them an $8.1 million piece of property, which is what we pay for stuff, why we have to give it to them for free. This is taxpayer subsidies. But this is just one example of insider politics, what really goes on.
Well, and the thing about it is, when I talk about these things, and I guess I'll have to get back into it tomorrow night, on my show, if the interwebs and Al Gore and other internet controllers let us do our show. But when they talk about conspiracy theories and people want to dismiss a conspiracy theory, if Alex Jones says that they want to put all their credit in idiots like Glenn Beck, who are hawking whatever book they have for sale. Remember the same Glenn Beck who got kicked off Wacky Radio in Louisville because he was sexually harassing Liz Curtis back in the days. Look that up. But they all want to think that we're making up these conspiracies. I'm going to post a link in the chat room, a YouTube link. YouTube is not exactly on our side. YouTube likes the New World Order. But I want to post a link where the Boston Police Commissioner, when he was giving an interview about, what did you call him, Ed? You're calling him Thing Number One and Thing Number Two?
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm going to post this link where maybe he had a Freudian slip, but Boston Police Commissioner Ed Davis called the brothers actors in his slip. So I'm going to post that in the chat room right now for people that believe whatever Glenn Beck and drug-addicted Rush Limbaugh tell them. I'll put that link in there for them now if they want to dispute that. But go ahead.
That actually is a very, very interesting link.
Boston Police Commissioner called the Sarno Brothers actors during a live interview with Fox News. I just posted the YouTube clip. It's ain't Alex Jones, since everybody wants to believe what the idiot Glenn Beck's hawking him and whatever his new book is about a Christmas sweater and all that bullshit. But I just posted a link in there to the YouTube video where the Boston Police Commissioner calls the Ballmer Brothers actors. Go ahead.
I'm actually opening up the link myself. I have to watch it after the show, obviously. That doesn't surprise me. That does not surprise me a bit. And, what's really alarming to me is, regardless of whether these guys are actors, whether this is a conspiracy, whether it really happened or whether it didn't, I don't care which side of the coin you want to fall on. What really concerns the hell out of me are the YouTube videos and the firsthand accounts and reports of the Bostonians themselves. There were 1 million people in Boston who were under an imposed lockdown.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that.
Government officials, for one thing, who the hell are they to impose a lockdown? Nobody has the right to impose a lockdown in my home but me, period.
Well, and then after they supposedly captured Thing Number Two, these idiots were out on the streets celebrating.
Exactly. But in the
people
process,
were on the streets celebrating the fact that they had been locked in their homes. Folks, look at the pictures that are out there of the armored ATVs and SWAT teams that got the little guns and machines out there. This is a sample of what your government dispatched to the streets and used for 4 days to supposedly find two young men. They also declare martial law, as Ed says, on a major city for 24 hours, forcing all their citizens to stay locked in their homes while they look for one young man. And not only that, they even removed some firearms from private citizens, shades of the hurricane down in New Orleans when they did that. And they did the same thing in Boston this week where they took firearms from private citizens.
You betcha. And as you just pointed out, you got your armored ATVs, you know, with their guns locked, loaded, and ready to fire at somebody's front door in their house. You've got all these agents, FBI, SWAT, Boston police, all these different agents. You have no idea where they're coming from, beating in your door, forcibly, physically forcing you out of your house with your hands over your head. As soon as you get out of your house, you're pushed to the end of the line, and then you are daggone basically sexually assaulted because they're going to frisk every inch of your body, and then they're going to illegally go into your home and search for a so-called bombing suspect.
That's what I said. People can make up their own
liberty
mind.
Liberty and freedom died.
Well, yeah, and people can think this is all about catching one young kid, you know, where he's hiding out, or they can look at it for what I think it really is, which is a training exercise for when you get out of line, Mr. and Mrs. Citizen.
Thank you, because that's exactly what it was. This was purely a training exercise to see what the American people would put up with.
Yeah. And they got away with it. The sheep were out there on the street with flags celebrating.
Oh, exactly. And what did mainstream media do? They didn't show the videos that were out there publicly where an officer grabs an old woman and slams her off her front porch. I mean, throws her off her front porch because she doesn't have her hands above her head. Probably couldn't get them that high. They don't have that out there. No, what they do is they promote this big old thing about this Boston police officer who threw out all of this bad stuff, brought a gallon of milk to this poor woman who had a baby in the house. You talk about propaganda?
Well, the FBI knows that people are not going to believe the script. I mean, if you got a police commissioner calling them actors, let's call it what it is, a script. And the FBI went on TV, and this Richard DeLaurier, however you say his name, you know, he got started with the FBI in his press conference, and his exact statement, let me find it here, his exact statement was, the FBI had to kill one terrorist, now they have his brother surrounded, this is it, this is the only story, everything else that you hear is nonsense. This is from the FBI. I mean, why would you say stuff like that?
Is it really a surprise? And as good friend Paul over stopping in the chat room points out, we mentioned the term martial law. This was undeclared martial law. This was totally undeclared. This was a situation where you are forced into compliance. You are forced into compliance, and these people complied. I expect that when you're an actor or an actress, you're going to follow a script.
Yeah, you got to.
You're supposed to. That's your job. But when you're an average American citizen and you follow a script willingly that denies you your rights, we've got serious problems, probably more serious than I even comprehend.
Yeah, we've got to call it scripts. I'll have to dig up the video right after the Sandy Hook shooting happened, where supposedly this kid took in semi-automatics. We know it wasn't semi-automatics. But after that happened, you had one of the parents was in the middle of a press conference. One of the parents, sadly, of one of the children who was killed in the school shootings, went out to the press conference, and you can hear him on YouTube looking right to the camera saying, so you just want me to read from the script? It was his exact words.
Yep. So what do we do? They did, you know, you've got mainstream media out there promoting this million-man non-march, if you will. You know, a million people sit in their homes like zombies and robots, you know, following orders. Like they're working on an assembly line at Ford or something in their own private homes that they're paying for. They're told they can't go to work, so they can't pay their bills. They're told they don't have the right to open their doors for anything but police, basically. They're not even allowed to drive the streets. You can't leave your next-door neighbor's house and walk to your own house because you might be a terrorist in between. You're being forced at gunpoint from your home. You're being sexually assaulted, and you're cheering when it's all done.
Well, it kind of ties into. Remember what happened right after the Boston Marathon situation? Go back to last weekend. Remember all of a sudden we started hearing about letters with poison being mailed out? You remember that?
Oh, yeah, the Reisel letters. And the first guy they arrested turned out to be the wrong guy.
Well, that's what I was getting ready to say. They released this guy, supposedly this guy named Paul Kevin Curtis. They always use the full name, I guess, for effect. But this Paul Kevin Curtis was released. And he was arrested at his home in Mississippi and charged with sending all these rights and laced letters to the president, as a U.S. senator, and a judge, and they just let him go like that. How often does that happen, that you send, supposedly, allegedly, that you would send off letters? Now, remember, we got people down at Guantanamo Bay who who are U.S. citizens and aren't even getting a trial or anything, but this guy allegedly sends out rights and letters to the president and a U.S. senator and a judge, and they just let him go?
Yeah, pretty amazing, isn't it?
A little suspicious.
Wonder what that's
me.
All about. You know, Mayo, back at you, man. What's up?
Well, the reason they had to let him go, because on further testing, they couldn't detect, you know, like it set off the male sniffers, but on further testing, they couldn't detect any ricin, so that's why they had to let him go. There was no proof to hold him. And the other thing, talking about making you sick, I mean, yeah, I agree with what you're saying. You know, the police state, you know, it was kind of enforced at the time and being wary of that. But another thing makes me sick, just some people, there are people that are finishers of the Boston Marathon that are eBaying their Boston Marathon medals for high amounts of money. And I'm sitting there going, what, you know,
is
just,
that really
kind
a surprise?
Of,
well, that's kind of the dark side of supply and demand. I mean, you know, they couldn't put them out there. There wasn't some sicko out there who would give them money for them.
Well, I mean, I could
is
understand
that really
it's
a surprise?
Legal right. Well, no, I mean, I know, but like, you know, you and I have talked about the difference between legality and morality. It might be their legal right, but I'm sorry seeing that. That just sickens my stomach, and that disrespects the deaths of the people, you know, the 8-year-old boy, in my opinion. You know, that's just my opinion. You know, so I thought I'd put Dale's were.
No, that's a good point to make. Like I said, I keep bringing up these supposed conspiracies that we're not supposed to talk about, because anytime they want us to look at one story, it makes you wonder what's going on the other side of town, on the other side of the capital, on the other side of the country that they don't want you to look at. And we just discussed what it was. It was the whole syphilis thing. At the same time, they want to cramp down the internet and take away First Amendment rights, and they also want to put a tax on it. On this, oh, it's not a tax. It's just that all these local business. You know, when was the last time the damn government cared a bit about local business? Ask Mr. Martin what he thinks that the government cares about his small business. So all of a sudden they're saying, oh, it's not a new tax. It's just going to help these local businesses even the playing field for all the stuff you're buying online and not paying taxes on it.
Well,
let's look at
how
here.
Many people is that going to shove out? You know,
exactly.
The entrepreneurs,
you know,
the home businesses.
You can look on your state tax form right now, gentlemen. You can look at your Kentucky state tax form, and whoever's in charge, whether it be Papaw Bashir, or back when we had you know, Flipper Patton in there, or Fletcher, any of them in there, it doesn't matter who the governor is. There's a line on there that asks you to pay taxes on stuff that you bought online or subscriptions and all that crap. Who actually is enough of a sheep to do that? I want to know.
Well, I mean, look at what was it here in Kentucky or. They changed the death tax name to the inheritance tax, and then the internet tax you're talking about, well, they actually called it something else. Dagnabbit.
Yeah.
It's really not any different than the Obama phone. I mean,
yeah.
if you look at it, it's really no different than the Obama phone. The Obama phone was actually a program that was started by Ronald Reagan. Nobody wants to look at that and pay attention to that. But Ronald Reagan actually came up with this concept for this so-called Obama phone for one reason, to make sure that you had a landline available, you know, for the poor people in rural areas so that they would have a phone in case there was some kind of an emergency, okay?
For 911
this,
only.
Right. This started out as a $143 million program. $143 million program. Since Ronald Reagan brought this out, and remember, landline is the key word here. Since Ronald Reagan brought this out, we've went from $143 million a year to $2.2 billion. It's all because cell phones were added in 2008. You get to continually get a new phone every month. These guys are taking these phones and selling them, so they're making money on that. You know, you got all these people on welfare and food stamps. You know, why are we providing cell phones? You know, if you want to have a landline, and again, I really have no problem with the concept of making sure people in rural areas that have no other options have access to a phone that's dialed straight into 911, almost like a hotline, if you will. I got no problem with that. We want to make sure everybody's got some help here. But when you're spending all this money buying a cell phone for these drug dealers to carry around, and that's what they do. They use these free Obama phones to make all their damn drug deals and everything else, all their illegal deals done, get rid of the minutes, get rid of the phone, go get another one for free, and continue making all this cash money we're not getting hold of. You know, It defies logic. It really does.
Well, two things on the phone. I mean, I think they're supposed to be like 200 minutes a month, but you have people that are getting 5 a month on multiple, accounts.
Sure.
And the second thing is, who profited the most? One of Obama's biggest contributors, the guy from Mexico. The company is in Mexico.
Right.
They make the cheap burner. Yeah, they make the cheap, the burner phones. So, I mean,
exactly.
Why wouldn't the plant in the United States?
And it's not like nobody's known this. We've known this stuff for years. But it's very interesting because, it's just become a story again a couple of days ago because Senator Claire McCaskill from Missouri got an offer of a free phone. She actually had some people come to her apartment and solicit her. Now, she supposedly lives in a building where you don't really have people that qualify for free phones. It's a pretty pricey place. And yet they go door to door offering her a free phone, not knowing she was a senator. So now all of a sudden it's a big deal to Congress again. Eliminate the cell phone portion of this and you fix this problem. Put a landline in for people who qualify and make it a 911 or a local police number only. Those are the only numbers that can be dialed out on that phone. You can set that up quite easily. We can block numbers all day long on our regular phones now, whether it's cell phone or landline. Am I correct?
How much do you think, Ed, that would cost? I don't know how much the Obama phone problem costs, but how much do you think it would cost to just give them that landline phone with that hotline like you propose?
Probably about a tenth of what it's costing us right now.
Well, I'll give you a deal that's even better than that. Don't give them damn phone at all, because if you give them a phone, remember, when seconds count, the police will be there in about a half an hour. Take that money and give legal, law-abiding citizens firearms instead.
Hey, I'll even go with that, brother. I'll tell you what. Let's go right to the phones. This is a 303 number.
Hey, what's up, fellas? It's me, Sean.
Hey, hey, Sean, how are you? I actually was on your show today, man. Where were you?
I was listening.
Don't go,
man.
We're running out of time. What can we do for you, my friend?
I
understand. What can we do for you, my friend?
I was just chiming in on this thing on the phones and the money we spend and all the stuff, man. Is it true that I read something that we're now, there's a law passed that you got to pay taxes on the Internet? Any purchases on the
Internet?
They're
trying to get it there. It's not passed yet, but
they are working.
Senate. Yeah, the Senate's already pushing through, and the House is working on it.
Now, remember this, too, guys, since you mentioned taxes, Meeshawn. There's one thing I didn't mention a second ago. I got tongue-tied, but, if you look at your cell phone bill, for you guys who are out there working a job every day and paying for your cell phone bill like you should, if you look at your cell phone bill, you are actually paying a tax that provides the money to pay for these free phones. So we're paying the taxes to the federal government, and they're taking that money to purchase these free phones. It's added onto your phone bill, every phone bill you've got. And, yes, they are looking to tax the Internet as well, and chances are they're going to pass it. They're going to pass it. They passed CISPA with Republican support. Why wouldn't they pass a tax on the Internet? They passed
it. That's what John Yarmuth credit. John Yarmuth was on our side voting against CISPA, so I give him credit for that.
Oh, I agree. It seems that the Democrats, the only thing that they can agree on is they don't want anybody getting into their privacy. Now you think about these players and everything we've been outing over at LouisvillePolitics.com and other areas that everybody's been going out showing all of these daggone lies and deceptions and everything else that these Democrats are up to. I guarantee you the reason they don't want CISPA is because they don't want anybody to watch what they're doing. Okay, but I'll take it. That's a win for me. I'll take it. You know what I mean? So what's the answer here, fellas? Because we're not getting anywhere. We've got the FBI, the CIA, Black Ops, all these other people involved in Boston. We continue having terrorist attacks at the same time. I know, strange coincidence, right? We continue having all these attacks at the same time. There's a major effort to take a freedom away. We've gotten too used to seeing now on TV over the last week a million people saying, hey, kick me out of my house illegally, rummage through all my stuff, pull me from my house at gunpoint, wake me up in bed, and I'll kiss your butt and praise you when everything's over. People are laying down. I think those million people in Boston proved it. What is the answer here? What are we going to do? And as usual, everything goes silent.
Well, you got to stop believing the status quo, number one. That's why I said the government programs are going to keep going. The government never gets cut down, but you got to watch what they're trying to cut down on in regards to our freedoms when they don't want you to pay attention to Congress. That's why I said as soon as these Boston bombings went off, I said you better be watching and seeing what they're doing over there in Washington, D.C., because it's usually some kind of detraction here. They want you to look over here. And I don't want you to look at what they're doing behind the curtain, and that's
wage
what they're doing. Yeah.
Wage slaves.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt about it. So, you know, and now we've got all of these situations happening. The American people are becoming accustomed to being attacked. They're becoming accustomed to giving up freedom for security. And we all know what Ben Franklin said about that.
Yep.
You know, where do we go from here? It's entirely up to us as a people. But I've got to tell you straight up, I'm alarmed. Go ahead, B-Sean.
We need to be having a homesteading, man. Just third way, man. I'm telling you. They're having a big rally this Friday on Washington, D.C. I can't make it. Norman Curlin, Dr. Norman Curlin, Capital Homesteading, the man I've been telling you about, they're going to be speaking at the memorial of the what they say, the pawn there, they're going to be speaking at the in Washington, D.C., starting Friday, talking about capital homesteading, trying to get the government to change their taxations, to change some things. So you've been following it on my Facebook. There's a lot of conversation about it right now. That's the other reason I wanted to call in and let y'all know about that.
Well, good luck to them is all I got to say, because I tell you what, taxation is not going away. You know, the real question is, how do we make the politicians go away? Because that's the only thing that's going to change anything. You know, it's like, I don't know, even today on your show, Michonne, we were talking about the politicians, these lifetime politicians and everything else. You know, these guys are bought and paid for. We've got to do something different, and I'm not sure we're going to be able to do that anytime soon. And I think Boston just sent us a bigger message than a terrorist strike, because the real terrorist strike is in our own minds. It really is. It's alarming. Thanks for calling me, Sean. Thank you, Mayo, for your call. Dale, man, the hour is gone. Final thoughts, my friend.
Implies by, well, final thoughts. They want to take away your arms. They want to take away your guns. And it's really convenient to also try to take away your internet by saying that all these guys got their information on the internet to make these weapons. And maybe they did. Maybe they got their information on the internet to develop these bombs. And I say, I don't have a problem with them getting the information online, because we are supposed to have free speech. There are a lot of countries where they ban books, and we don't ban books here yet, but we sure do not have the free speech and the free press that we used to have. So they want to take away the guns and the internet. It reminds me of what Aristotle said, both oligarch and tyrant will mistrust the people and therefore deprive them of their arms. So you got to stand up. You got to stop believing the mainstream press. You got to stop listening to ABC, CBS, NBC. Stop listening to Rush Limbaugh and Glenn Beck, and stand up to all of these puppets and tell them death to the New World Order.
Yeah, I'm total agreement with you. And what we see today is a pattern of behavior unlike any I think we have ever seen in our history. You look over just the past couple of years and look at what's happened here. We have Colorado shootings. We have Sandy Hook Elementary shootings in Newton, Connecticut. We have a bomb going off at the Boston Marathon. Each one of these events miraculously coincided with some sort of an exercise that the federal government was doing. Each one of these events miraculously coincide with some element of control that the federal government is trying to take away from us by taking away freedoms. When we look at that, we've got to look at this big picture. We have a bomb exercise going on at the same exact time the Boston Marathon was going on. That's a lie. There's no other way to put it. There's no other way to describe it. It was a lie. At the same time they started going after guns, we have a mass shooting in Colorado and then another one at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newton, Connecticut. The last one, we decided he was going to go ahead and kill a bunch of kids. I don't think there's much coincidence here, folks. Now, call me a conspiracy theorist, call me what you will, but every time that something goes wrong in this country, the first thing that our government does is they look to take something away from us. They look to take away liberty. They look to take away freedom. all disguised by telling us it's going to make us safer. Can anyone honestly today say that they feel safe? I don't feel safe if I don't have my gun close to me to protect me. I'm sorry, that's the truth. I'm a pretty damn good shot, and I usually don't miss. I feel safe knowing that. Somebody tries to break into my house, they've got more on their hands than they'll ever imagine. I feel safe knowing that because I can protect myself. That's my job. But when the federal government tells a million people to stay in your house and don't move until we tell you to, and these robots in Boston say, sir, yes, sir, that's not a military training camp. This isn't a war. This is the United States of America, land of the free, home of the brave. And those same million people applauded the Boston police for finding a kid in the back of a boat in a backyard that they didn't even know was there. The cordoned off area that these guys were at did not include the area where the kid was found. The kid was found accidentally because a homeowner noticed blood on their boat. The police didn't have a clue. But they're going to lock down a million citizens. I'm sorry. That sits bad with me. It is time to get off of your ass, people. Get off of your ass. Start holding these people accountable. Forget about the politically correct. The Muslim, Islamic, jihad, asswipe terrorists are the ones who do this. Let's say that again. The Muslim, Islamic, jihad, asswipe terrorists are the ones who do this. For you guys who listen to the show, if you're offended by that, tough. I don't care. I'm not on this earth to make you happy. I'm on this earth to make a difference. Nobody's going to make a difference by hiding and allowing themselves to be terrorized by their own government. Get off your butt. Get involved. Be the difference you say you want. Don't sit here and speak it. Don't sit here and talk it if you're not willing to walk it, because that's the problem with America today. I'm done. That's it. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, Dale the Truth will be here with the TNT Thursday Night Truth Show. And Sunday night, as always, at 7 o'clock with our good friend Kim Moman at Liberty Unbridled. Until next time, folks, have a great night. Stand up. Be recognized. You deserve it. We will talk to you soon. Take care.